cliffcentral.com. Here are the guys. I can't believe this. I haven't seen them in such a long time. Bring them in, Lucas. Let's have the guys from Fokof Polisikar here. It's Francois van Kook, Reinhard Meiberg. Hey, boys, how are you? Nice to see you guys. Yeah, come, grab a seat, sit down, make yourselves comfortable. How's it? Have a seat. What's happening, guys? What's going on here? Listen, first of all, congratulations. Crowdfunding, you know, people say that this doesn't work and people say that the music business is finished and you can't make albums because it doesn't make you any money. It's more expensive to make an album than to try and sell it. And that's all nonsense. It's totally unnecessary that people say this crap.
I don't know. I think it's all true what you just said.
Well, it is, but you've got to find innovative new ways to make it happen,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
And if your fans love you as much as your fans love you, you could raise R500,000 in 9 days, and it's no big deal.
No, I think we really feel privileged that we got it right and that the fans came to the party. But I think, you know, Weinand, as the manager of this project, I think it's his plan that put everything into motion.
So know. How did this come about? Did you watch all these other people crowdfunding and you thought, well, please, if people are going to pay for a robot vacuum cleaner to be crowdfunded, then they'll definitely pay for Fork Off Polisikar.
Actually, I didn't know anything about crowdfunding. We kind of I've been toying with the idea for a long time. And obviously, I mean, it was an ideal project to try it out with because we haven't recorded an album in 11 years. But still, we play packed out shows every year. Yeah. So there's a definite demand there. But like you said earlier, it's just for the five of us being involved with so many other projects in music that are already successful. It was kind of now to fork out 500K to put a whole campaign together.
All right, so just explain this to people who might not know how it works.
Yes.
You guys are doing gigs all over the place. You've all got your own individual projects going on. People still love Fork Off Polisikar, and you'll play together occasionally, but it's got to be for cash because you're running businesses effectively.
Yes. Now, all of it's businesses. Right. I mean, Francho's got his solo career, as Francho van Kook, you know.
By the way, I've got to tell you, some of that stuff that you're doing is just magic. And, you know,
thanks,
it's beautiful.
It really is. It's absolutely beautiful.
Thanks.
And I mean, some of the collaborations too that you've been up to recently have just blown my mind. Such good stuff coming out of there.
Yeah. Anyway, so to pull someone from him out of that,
yeah,
and say, listen, let's make a Fork Off album. But besides, you have to spend all this time making it with us.
He's going to say, fuck you. I've got things to do.
Francois, you also need to invest 150K into the project with us.
No, he's like,
and then no
please.
One's going to buy this album from us. Yeah. But we're going to be popular.
Because where do you sell music anymore? If you sell it online, which is fine, you don't get very much money for it anymore. I mean, you try and do that on iTunes. It's a joke what you get paid in royalties.
Well, if people actually buy the physical or the MP3, you still make money. But obviously, it's all gone to streaming.
Yeah.
I mean, no one, you know, there's no need to buy music anymore. If we're driving in the car yesterday, we're like, oh, how does that band sound? And we all just use Apple
it's
Music.
It's sort of become, there's no incentive to sit down and write new material.
That's the difficult thing. But obviously, as an artist, as someone that want to create something, that hasn't changed.
No, sure.
I mean, the passion.
But now,
and
might just do it at home quietly. You might write a song and then tell the other guys, hey, how about we try this at the next gig? We don't need to record it in a studio.
Yo, there's definitely that side to it.
I think you want to create that thing, you know, that like you started something from nowhere, you create this thing and you want to play it to people. That's kind of why you start playing music, I think, you know. When we were like this, you get together in a garage. And
when you're younger, you do it because it gets you tons of pussy.
And
it's exciting as all hell.
But
that's maybe the first motivation.
But, you know, but Garrett, this is a crazy thing. I mean, we come from a more of an underground music scene.
Mm.
And we've never produced or made music with the idea in mind that we're going to sell or get a gold album.
Sure.
We've always just made music for ourselves, and then there's people around us that like it, you know, and obviously we worked hard and traveled and missioned and took it to the people and all of that, you know, and it's been 14 years since we started Fork Off Polisikar, and we've, you know, had some ups and downs. But
you know what? There's so many bands who've tried to figure out what the new formula is for. Because you want to create new music. Your fans want to hear new music. They want to see you doing your old stuff too. But they can get that at gigs, and they've probably bought those albums already. So they're always looking for it, and they're hungry for the next big thing. you've got to find a way of making it pay, and also so that it makes sense in a world where you nobody goes out, stops at a CD store and buys.
Graveyards.
They are. It's so depressing.
Yeah. But it's also so.
Someone gave me a voucher for one the other day, and I almost threw it in their face. I said, I don't know where to spend it.
A voucher? But people give me CDs all the time, and I throw that away. A voucher is even worse.
I don't even
You still have to make a mission with
it. Do you have a way to play a CD?
Well, my car's still got a front loader.
Okay.
What car do you drive?
The new cars don't have front loading.
I don't think I've got a front loading DVD.
You're not sure?
I don't think.
Maybe it's in your boot.
Dude, I haven't used it. It might be. I certainly haven't used it. So, yeah, that's another problem, right?
I can. I probably have played 3 CDs in the last year, and that was someone gave to me. And I was actually one. The one is like a Belgian metal band, so that I had to listen to, you know, and that was in my front loader for a while.
Right.
But I mean, I'll switch between radio and then I stream or play music from my phone, you know.
Yep.
But Gareth, the crazy thing is that music's not going to go away.
No.
You know, people want to gym on it. They want to have a wine on it. They want to braai on it. They want to watch sports on it. They want to have sex on it.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of our lives. And new music's coming out all the time and it's filling the gaps, you know, all of that. But they do not have to. I suppose, not even want to pay for it. They don't have to pay for it.
And that's why what you've done here is so clever.
And the crazy thing is we've pre-sold 750 albums, and that's spread between MP3s, digital, CD, and vinyl. So only 750 albums has been sold, and we're sitting over 700,000 now on that crowdfunder.
So the people are interested in buying stuff from the band, or pledging money to get something from the band, but the music doesn't really... That's not really
the
part
music
of
they'll
it.
Get anyway.
Yeah. They're kind of saying, "We love what you guys are doing. Please keep doing it." That's what they're saying.
Yeah. That's pretty much it.
And if you took that 750,000 rand
and ran,
you crowdfund and you ran, I think they'd also be okay with it.
I doubt that.
I think as long as you keep on doing what you guys do,
yes.
And this particularly is a folk of Polisikar thing. I think they'd be very happy if you just. You know, came out with one or two songs. You wouldn't even have to come out with a whole album.
I think the core fan base are in need of an album. You know, we've been hearing that since 2008. I think the first time we said we're going to make a new album.
Have you been sitting on material?
No,
actually, not at all. Yeah. So we all started from scratch.
In the last couple of years, we've recorded 2 songs. I think since 2008.
Yeah.
And released them, and we wrote another one that we played live at Opie Corpie once that everyone wanted to hear recorded, but that's actually not making the album. So everything else is new material.
Well, this is exciting stuff. Are you going to do this again? I mean, if it comes to, because clearly this is the best way to get a whole lot of cash injected into a project.
I haven't really thought that far. I mean, like, you know, besides all of this, the crowdfunding and people interest or whatever, there's obviously an all another side to this, and that's the creative side.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that we've been toying with and kind of had to go through a bit of a process.
Right.
I mean, we haven't, like Fran just said, written a full album. I mean, last release was in 2008, and that was 4 songs. Before that was 2006. So in 11 years, and then also we're quite scattered.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's doing their own thing. But this is the great thing about, we call it the spirit of Folk of Polisikar. We sometimes don't see each other for a month. We'll get to a festival. It's all high fives, hugs, you know. And then 5 minutes later, we're on stage. And without rehearsal, we just get into that sweet spot and we play a set.
How often are you playing together?
I'm actually playing pretty often. I would say like 2 shows a month for the last couple of years.
Like 30 shows a year.
It doesn't feel like the band isn't together all the time then. I mean, you could still kind of make it feel like family. Because a lot of these, you know, you hear about like the Stones will do a tour. And I mean, they're 1,000 years old. But they'll do a tour and then... You know, Mick and Keith have never really got along, but they put it together, they keep it together for the tour, and then they don't see each other for 6 to 8 months, and there's no talking. Like they're not calling each other up going, "Hey, man, miss you, how are you? What's happening with the family?"
I think in the past months have passed that we haven't seen one another when everyone's on their own mission, but, you know, it's...
But to write again now, we had to change that. So that was a challenging thing.
Now, whose house do you go to when you put
it together? We actually write everything at Johnny's studio where we're going to record everything. So that's a cool space.
So we're quite self-functioning. Johnny's got a studio, I do management. You know, we all do it kind of in-house. You know, all of us it's besides, got careers.
Besides being the front man, what does this asshole do? Come on, what is
Well, he's just a front man.
What is front man?
Front man slash dad now.
I'm being a parent in my off time.
How's that going?
Yeah, very cool, man. I'm enjoying super excited. It. Yeah, the first month was the biggest chaos experience I've ever had. I've never thought it could be so hectic to be a father, but it's mellowed out now.
Because people think you're a really hectic guy, but I mean, I reckon when no, of course he used to.
You must hang out with him, yo.
No, but and by the way, I Google you guys, and then this is very cool. What comes up is your gig listing. Have you noticed that? Like if you Google "fuck off police cut," on the right hand side, it gives you the whole biog and everything. And then it says events, and I see you're doing one tonight.
Yes.
In Pretoria and on Thursday in Margate.
Yes.
See? Yeah, how's that?
No, we're
that's,
active.
That's I mean, very cool.
To be honest with you, I think the it's quite crazy to be playing for 14 years. I mean, 14 years ago, we played to 18-year-old
wow.
kids. Now, we still play to 18-year-old kids. So it's crazy to think in 2003, when we launched our first album, they were like 6 years old, these 18-year-old kids. So I think that kind of inspired us, that kind of inspired us like, shit, you know, there's something here. I mean, these people really care. So either they picked it up from their parents or their brothers or sisters or from their friends, but they still care about this music. And so we were like, we need to do more of this.
I think it's fair to say that you guys and a couple of other bands, but few, really revolutionized the whole Afrikaans music scene. I don't think it's too much to say that because it always used to be, and there's still elements of that kind of love song, you know, bubblegum kind of bullshit lyrics. Put 23 tracks on an album because it looks like value. There used to be a lot of that and nothing else. And then you guys came along and it changed drastically. I mean, there were obviously forebears, you know, who laid the tracks down.
Yeah, for sure. Like the Full Freight stuff was kind of the things that we were the only kind of Afrikaans stuff that we could relate to when we were kids, and there was definitely a reason for us to start this band.
But I think I realize now more than ever like the importance of, you know, alternative music and lifestyle in society. If you take the Afrikaans society, you know, and kind of a society that we live in and the one that we grew up with,
that's
there
changed,
was a need
but it's changed
that we
so
had
much.
To shift. Yeah, dude, but this is the crazy thing. So
Afrikaans
the kids,
people you used to be able to stereotype.
Yeah, dude, but this is the whack thing. So the kids that come to our shows, parents, are not the same people that we've had to fight with and broke away from.
Yeah.
That tried to like kind of box us and say this is the way to go. These kids' parents are so open-minded. So I'm like, but why are you then caring about what we do? And I've just realized that it doesn't matter. The situation has changed. The parents are more open-minded. It's a more of an alternative thinking in Afrikaans community. But still being an Afrikaner in South Africa is not easy. Being a white Afrikaans kid, you know, they feel once again boxed by society. Yeah. Once again, like they need an outlet, you know, and there's nothing better than a few beers and a few folk songs we can swear with, you know,
nothing
to get a release
that.
Out.
Nothing wrong. No, I mean,
you must come to a show, dude. You'll be released.
It's my kind of party, evidently. Listen,
I think
Sia does listen to Afrikaans music, but he kind of likes the more bubblegum stuff.
Yeah. What do you like?
Bobby.
Oh no.
Okay, let's not judge. Bobby has
I'm not judging, I'm just shocked.
Bobby has great ballads, no, pulls on your heartstrings, thank you. Yeah.
Sure.
Nate Furio is like come on.
Do you know Rafinsi?
Yeah. Oh Rafinsi, no, we had him in studio.
Yeah, we had him he was on the show a little while ago.
He's covering Francois's hit.
Oh yeah,
it's quite whack.
Which one?
Tufendigyo.
In fact, I think he even performed it live.
Yeah,
for
he's
us.
Got one.
Oh, really?
Quite successful with doing that song. Yeah, it's crazy. I think the more people that can play that song, the better.
Yeah, the closest I get to like Francois music, particularly, is like "Dance, Dance, Dance" with Jack Barrow.
Okay, cool.
That's like
and
release
that song
for 3 minutes.
You did. Yeah. That song you did with Garden is unbelievable. It's beautiful. It's just magnificent.
Yeah, we're going to re-record that one for the Fuck Off album.
All right, so let's just get back to this for a second. The crowdfunding, are there people who've said that they kind of, they feel like they own you now because they're paying this money? Because it's almost like you've got shareholders.
But this is the thing about this campaign. This campaign is set, I mean, like people pledge, but like I said, this is almost an e-commerce store.
Yeah.
can I swear on this?
You go for it.
Fucked into
yes.
a crowdfunder platform.
Sure.
So that's what we've done from the beginning. So there was a lot of stuff to pledge for. And then, you know, there's merchandise bundles. So we created a lot of incentive, took sponsors, you know, made Levi jackets.
That's very nice.
Patches, you know, there's a lot of the sponsors that we work with. So people for the first time was like, he's all this kind of, was it paraphernalia? What's the word?
Merchandise,
yeah. Like, but items they couldn't get before.
So that's quite cool because then people aren't just paying for you to write a new album.
Yeah, not at just all. So that they can get cool stuff. Yeah. Too.
So we're not saying to them, give us money and we'll write an album. It's kind of like, we need the money, but here's a lot of stuff that you guys can pledge for and own. You know, and so I don't feel so they're kind of getting already something in return with the incentive of a new album.
I think it's fantastic. I think this is the way that music's got to go, right?
Yeah,
I think so.
But for example, how so many other people are changing the world of whatever their sector is. You guys are leading the change in music. This is very, very clever.
Yeah, but also think about the concept. Imagine going to a studio, recording music. With no, if you don't even know people want it.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what you will do,
that's
you know?
That's how it used to be.
Yeah.
And it's now, the power is back in the hands of the person who wants the music the most, which is the fan, the consumer. How much does it cost to record an album? I mean, is it very labor-intensive? Studios, bookings?
For a rock band.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a crazy thing. These days, I mean, there's popular DJs that are 18, 19 years old.
Yeah.
They sit in the bedroom studios and they make hit songs.
Sure.
For them, it's just IP. Do you know what I mean? And obviously skill and all of that. Sure. But I mean, it doesn't take a lot.
No,
for
the a rock band, mostly do everything for you.
Yeah, yeah. For a rock band, it's still, you know, old school. So
yeah, we need a good room to record the drums. Yes. You know,
So I book a specific place to go do the drums. We record this there, we record that there. If you want to do a proper album like we want to do, you know, it's not just... I mean, back in the day, we've done it. Rock up at a studio, you spend 20 days there, back to back, you just track everything in one room, and it's done.
That must be a party, though. I'm just...
Yeah.
I know you work, but I'm trying to get my head into this because I've wanted since I was a little kid, I've always thought that the greatest job in the world's got to be in a rock band. You guys get into the studio, you've booked off in your diaries like a month. You're like, we're going to do this album now. You pitch up every day, probably late in the morning, you start and you finish when you finish that day. If you've got a lot of energy and ideas and you're all amped up and you could play until midnight and record something and you might only get 20 minutes of good stuff out of it, maybe even less, but you're all in there, you're doing your thing. The next day, you might have nothing. You might come in, you sit there and you're like, nah, this is just not working. You try a different thing. You have your engineer, your producer, figuring out what should be added and subtracted from the mix. And a lot of it is hard work, but then there's also partying, man. Because you're in there, you're having a couple of drinks, you're chilling, you're catching up with each other's lives. Sometimes someone pops by to listen.
You make it sound very romantic. Yeah, well,
he makes it sound like the book's birthdays.
Yeah, isn't it? But that's how, that's how it was.
Of course, I think like for us, it's changed a little bit because there's so many other facets to our lives, but in the early days when we were young, that's
please
kind
don't
of
spoil
the...
don't spoil this for me by saying no, but you have to go home and tit feed the child, please.
No, I mean in our younger days that was the scenario.
Yeah, we
I don't tit feed the child.
Yeah, like now it's but you know, like these days, before we hit the studio, we kind of know what we want to do already. There's some creative freedom, you know, but a lot happens in the pre-production. So that happens in the sessions that we get, like we put our days now, and we get to Johnny's studio and we sit around, and that's kind of when that happens, you know. And yeah, some of us, like Hunter, does get drunk every day that
good.
We do that.
Good for him. Nothing wrong with Hunter getting drunk. How quickly do the songs come?
It depends. Some songs obviously come quickly. Some you have to craft over time. Yeah. So.
But Forkoff, we found a formula already, you know, some of the last stuff we wrote 11 years ago, where Johnny is kind of the producer and he's kind of the musical director.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter writes most of the lyrics, and with Francois, you know, comes up with the phrasing and stuff and the melodies. I'd pick up the bass and try and play it as hard as possible, and Yaku does the drums. So we're kind of keeping that formula. So it's a lot of we kind of need Johnny to come up with musical parts, you know, for Hunter to start working on melodies, and then, you know, that gets all put together. But I think the magic is here, and that's what takes so much time and effort is we've realized to do a Fokof album, you need all of us there. Yeah. Even if it's just Yaku going like, "Hey, Walker, that snare must just maybe be a bit more yield there.
You hear a lot of these stories about these people who they'll record a transatlantic song. So you have like Rihanna sitting in Florida, and you'll have Ed Sheeran sitting in London, and you'll have Paul McCartney working on something from New York. And you think, I don't know how that's possible, because they're not even in the same room. They all contribute their little part, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But it does seem to me like the best way to do it is for you to be physically present.
Yeah, well, it depends. Like, I mean, that's obviously what we call ourselves, a bender, you know. Mm. So, I mean, a gang is not really going to work if it's only one guy, you know, come up with ideas. So that's what we try and go back to, you know. And that's why it was quite a, like I said, besides getting the money and everything ready, that's all good. But there's a whole nother side to this, is where we need to get back to Fokof Police Garden. And we ended up just sitting around talking quite a bit.
But you have to connect.
That's the thing, you know,
we had to connect back, and
connect maybe on a new way. Mm. You know, like Francis said, stuff has changed.
So what is new? I mean, people are going to be saying, well, this is all lacquer. I could have more of what you guys have done before, because there won't be anything wrong with that. But we might have some surprises too, right?
No, I think the album is going to sound what Fokof Police Cast should sound like in 2017. It's not going to sound like anything we've done before, and it's not going to be the same themes, because things are different. You know, I think it's going to be relevant to how we are and how we see ourselves in the country and in the greater scheme of things.
Yeah, so I mean, like, you know, what we've always done with Fokof Police Garden is kind of write music that we like. So we come together and we talk and we jam or whatever, and then all the influences come together and we're like, oh, I like this, I like that, we like how this sound. And now having the money up front, well, actually, Fokof Police Garden, we've never sat down and said, what would the people want to hear? Maybe we should, like, this is quite popular now, maybe we should sound like that, or maybe we should try and do this. Okay. We always just kind of do what we do, and if we, as five of us, go like, "Oh, I like how that sounds," then that song will go. Yeah,
I think in the same way it worked 10 or 14 years ago, we wrote songs that we like and play to our friends, and our friends connected with it immediately, which gave us the idea that other people might also like it. So first and foremost, it's for us.
Are you two too famous to like walk around shopping malls and stuff? I mean,
Francois, definitely, dude. You meet Menland malls, tickets for him.
Yeah, you get stopped every 5 meters, right?
In Pretoria, maybe now and again, but we're from Cape Town. Cape Town people don't
really care
about that.
Entire Valley Centre, every second Tunny corner you.
Yeah, of course, but not Tunnies. It's amazing. Like you said, you've got 18-year-olds and you've got older. Listen, it must
well,
be.
Well, he goes in school time and goes and shop in Tiger Valley, and that's when the Tunnies are hanging out.
Okay,
and he sits in and have a tea with them. And
listen, have you got water? Have you got water at the moment? Because you guys have got major problems. You've got like 50,
no, we've got fuck all water. My grass is yellow like your sign.
You get like 6 or 7 weeks of water and then you finish.
Yeah, dude. No. This morning I had the best shower. I showered for like 10 minutes. No, just let it run.
Fuck you, Cape Town.
Yeah. Cape Town, it's like, if you're a good person in Cape Town, you care, then you turn that shower on, off. You've got buckets in the shower, the whole block.
We do that whole thing.
Oh, disgusting.
Yeah, Francois, do you ever like still wets his grass? Got
you
the
do.
Greenest lawn in Boston.
I don't. You'll get fucking fine.
Yeah, you will get fine. But what's life like now? I mean, are you living large? Are you having the time of your life? Can you believe where you guys have got to after, you know, 14 years in the business? It's not.
I actually didn't
small.
Even think we're going to be alive now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that was not the plan.
Wow, so the bar was really set low.
Amazing that we made it to 30. But I think life is pretty good. I think.
But do you know what it is? If you continuously creating, there's not really time to sit back and look at what you're doing. Like, I often, the other day morning, I said to him, dude, like, you know, this song of yours doing so great on YouTube, but we'll just go, just hit 50,000 hits in a few days. And then we'll go, cool. And you'll immediately be focused on the next thing.
But
you know,
think about
the crowdfund, we hit half a mil. It's like, cool, guys, cheers.
That could
then it's on to the next thing.
And that could be 50,000 people who've individually logged. I mean, you don't know. It could be 20,000 people, but it doesn't matter. The 50,000 times that thing's been watched, that's intense. You know, to get that kind of reach in the golden days of music would have been impressive. Beyond belief, because there wasn't the internet. There wasn't this ability to connect with. You've got fans overseas, for God's sake. You don't have any way of connecting with those people in 1980.
Exactly. Definitely. Yeah. You know? So I think being in the thick of all of this and continuously creating, traveling, and, you know, living the life. Because, I mean, this is, you know, if you do something creative, you live it all the time. I think sometimes we, you know, life just goes by and you're like, oh, fuck, but it's 5 years later. And, and you look back and, it's been great, but you kind of don't really.
I think when we were young and we started playing music, the dream was obviously just to do it for a living. Sure. So, you know.
Like any way you could just make a living out of it, you'd be happy.
So at least we're doing that.
When it comes to the word Fokof Polisikar, I think you guys, I've got to credit you with the one thing that I think is more important than anything else. You allowed people to say the word fuck on radio, because I remember radio stations had no way to deal with that. And it just shows you how childish everything used to be.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And obviously now it's changed. But
no, but still, there's some radio stations that don't want to say it.
So how do they say it then?
They say Polisikar.
Or F of Polisikar.
Oh.
Well, so mostly Polisikar.
Polisikar, but that we hate it when people say Polisikar, because that's the part of the name that we don't like.
I mean, what childish nonsense is this?
Yeah, I don't know how it works or.
But you know what? When we started this thing, we never thought it's going to be printed. We never thought it was going to be. We hoped you're going to be a good enough band so people can take it seriously. But we, in the beginning, it wasn't printed in press either.
No, they used to use stars.
Yeah,
it was quite a crazy place to be at, because, you know, the name kind of came first, and then that name kind of lingered around, and then at some stage, you know, we all got so used to it, like you get desensitized, and we get so used to it, and when we turn around and said, listen, yeah, are we going to really stick to this name? And then we're so thick into it already, and we were like, okay, let's rather go and do it this way, and then we just work harder at being a great band or entertaining people so that they don't, with the name's not a problem. So I think that also kind of created a precedent that we have to push harder and prove more to get that name out, you know. So I think it kind of helped us in a way, you know. If we were just called François Nimana, we wouldn't have had to maybe push that hard, you know. So now we had this kind of motto almost, and it's out there, and now we got to fucking show people that we
mean
can
it.
Mean it and step up to it, you know.
Well, listen, boys, it's always good to catch up. And I know you're only around for a little while because you're doing some gigs up here. But I hope we will hear some fantastic stuff soon.
Yeah, hopefully when we come back next time, we've got a full-length album.
Can't wait.
Play it back to back.
Bring it here. We can. We'll give you we'll put you guys in here. Put you for 3 hours. You just play your songs and tell us where they'll come from.
Oh, that's awesome.
Only if you will live that fantasy you explained of in the studio drinking and partying.
I would love to hang out with you guys for 3 hours and just see what you do. I'll be behind the glass even just to watch.
No, we want you inside. You're partying.
Oh, it would be good. Ooh. All right, let's do that. How about that for a deal?
Cool. Sounds great.
We'll do a 3 hour session where you guys will play one or two live, but you'll play the album.
Cool.
You'll tell us where each song comes from. You'll tell us a little bit about what's been going on. And we'll make it a proper show.
Cool.
Sounds like it.
I love it. Sounds really good.
Party on.
Awesome.
The debauchery that will ensue.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you both, gents. It's very, very good to see you both. And I hope that we'll be hearing from you very, very soon.
Cool.
All right. Awesome. And don't leave us out in the cold if there's any other breaking news, right? Veinand, bye donkey. François, bye donkey.
Cool.
That's Fokof Polisikar and the new album, which is coming out soon. We thought we'd check in with the guys. They're doing some really creative, interesting stuff. Not just in terms of the actual music, but the way that the whole music business works. CliffCentral.com.